Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. We'll see how this goes tonight with the critters in the background. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, now I like calling it the Word of God. Do you know why I like calling it the Word of God? Because it is the Word of God. Ever since the first people, which was Adam and Eve, started talking about the Word of God, Satan's tried to attack it. But through all that time, it has never been diminished. It has never been wrong. And every time that somebody tried to say it was wrong, it turns out the Word of God was right and that person was wrong. I like what they tried to do with Jericho. They were digging for Jericho in the 50s. And they couldn't find it. And they said, see, the Bible's wrong. There is no Jericho. And then somebody had the brilliant idea of digging where the Bible said it was. And then they found Jericho. And you know what? The walls were present, fallen over. They weren't crumbled to the ground. They were fallen over, one on top of the other, just like the Bible said it was. Now, there's countless examples of this where people have tried to attack the Word of God, but they could never do it. It's not something that we can debate. It's not something that we can attack. It is what it is. And today people try to attack it left and right, but you know what? God's Word will endure forever. It'll be around much longer than any of the people who are trying to attack it. It's always been that way, and it will always be that way. His Word endures forever. The Word of God says that if we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, and that word mind there actually means affections, on the things above, not on things of the earth. Now, we have this tendency. We like to look in directions. In other words, when we think about things, we think in a direction. If you think about a person and you think in a direction, you usually think some kind of a horizontal direction. You think about God, you think in a vertical direction. We are oriented toward directions because we're oriented spatially. Now, God also is oriented toward directions. And so I want to take a few minutes and talk about God's directions. Because the directions, like the pointing, if you will, is important. Is it to the east or to the west? Is it to the south? The Bible makes a big deal of these things. East in the Bible speaks of the resurrection, of resurrection life. South speaks of the world system. North speaks of heaven. So we have these things in the Bible that are also directionally oriented. There is a directional orientation towards us also. And we need to understand this directional orientation. And here it says that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. This is God's first direction, the things which are above. Like, orient yourself toward the things that are above, he says. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind, your affections on these things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I heard a stupid saying one time, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I would like to tweak that a little bit to have it make more sense. Unless you're heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Because what is it to me if somebody comes up with their opinions or their notions? What does it make any difference to me? I mean, people have been doing that for a long time, and some of them come out with some few positive things, and some of them come out with some few negative things. But what is it to me what is going on horizontally? Like, okay, something happened over there in Kenya, and somebody got elected or something. Okay, what does that really matter? What does it really change? It doesn't change the essence of who we are. It doesn't change the essence of our call in life. It doesn't change the essence of anything. But we tend to be very horizontally oriented in this regard. And God said, don't do that. Be oriented to the things above. Like, how often are we oriented to the details of our lives? I mean, I heard it today. Such and such said this. And this is a very normal statement. Such and such did this. This is how it went. This is what took place. And, of course, discussion is not wrong. But what I'm saying, is that my orientation? Or am I oriented to the things above? God says, be oriented to the things above, not to the things of the earth. Why? Because I'm not here. I'm there. In other words, the Word of God says that in Ephesians 2:6, I'm raised together with Him, with Christ. And I'm seated together in heavenly places with Christ. That's now. That is my present reality. Now, we don't often think that way, but this is in fact our present reality. That in reality, if we are a believer, then Christ sits us together with Him. That means that nothing that happens on the earth can touch me. Oh, maybe I can lose a job, or maybe I can get sick, yes. But that's not who I am. Who I am is determined by who God is in me and how responsive I am to that. So the Word of God says, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. You see, the things that are on the earth, they're going to pass away. God is really giving us practical advice here. They're going to pass away. No matter how much we accumulate, it doesn't matter. No matter how much we succeed or don't succeed, in many respects, it doesn't matter. Because none of it's going to last. You see, we have this mindset of thinking that this life is the end all. That's because if we believe in heaven often, we think of it as some dream-like condition, a theology. And who knows if it's real? We tend to think of it like something we can't possibly understand because nobody's been there. Well, that's not absolutely true. Some people have been there and doctors brought them back. I remember this one doctor. He was very interesting. He was a trauma surgeon, I believe. He was definitely ER. And he had this test he tried, this experiment, where he took a photograph and put it into his trauma room. And he set it above the surgical light, which was very close to the ceiling in the trauma room. This doctor was not a believer. But he heard many people that came back telling stories about leaving their body and beyond. And so this doctor put this photograph above this light. And he asked people that he resuscitates, did you see anything? Every person saw the photograph. Now, you couldn't see it from anywhere in the room because it was right next to the ceiling on top of the surgical light. So you couldn't see it if you were wheeled in. Nobody knew it was there. But every person saw the photograph. And he was on television talking about it one time. He said, it is universally true. This is what happens to everyone. We have this notion that this place is our reality. And it, of course, we deal with this place. It is reality in the temporal sense. But this is not the end all. If God could pull back the veil, if He did that, we would see a much greater world than what we're accustomed to. But I believe it's by His mercy that He doesn't do that. But some people have seen the angels, and some people have seen demons. And these were not crazy, psychotic people. As a matter of fact, in our church we got recordings of angels where they started singing. Many of you have heard those. Where it was one woman on a piano and an angelic choir behind her that wasn't visible, but you could hear them very clearly. And when they had the sounds analyzed, they said, "This nothing human or nothing that we know of could produce these sounds." This world is not the end all. Yet we orient ourselves so profoundly about the things of this world. About what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? Who am I going to hook up with? Where am I going to go? Where do I end up? I'll tell you where you end up. You end up heaven or you end up in hell. That's where you end up. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't care if you're the richest person on earth. You end up in heaven or you end up in hell. That's where you end up. And the path for one is the same as the path for the other. In other words, how do I get there? It's the same no matter who you are. You're going to end up one place or another. If I'm a believer, I may, I'm going to heaven, but it's like, what's my future going to be like in heaven? Am I going to get gold, silver, and precious stones, coats of glory? Am I going to reign with Christ? Will I receive the crowns? Or will I be somebody who is there, but as by fire? Will I be somebody who walks away from the judgment seat of Christ embarrassed or edified? See, we don't tend to think that way here. We tend to think about, okay, where's the buck going to come from? And where am I going on vacation next summer? And what's the kid going to do about college? And those are useful things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it's not the end all. If this is where my life is centered, and many believers have their life centered in this, unfortunately, I don't have much of a life. Jesus said, "Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth." Why? Because I'm seated above now. And what does that mean? That means in my position before God, I'm seated above. My experience is on earth, but my place is with God. I belong with Him. And so set your mind up there, because this is where you belong. One of the things that happens to us is we don't understand the ways of God. Something will come our way and we don't get it. We get a call that we don't understand. What do you mean, Kathmandu? Well, I'm not going to Kathmandu. What would I? I mean, I'm from Baltimore. What would I do in Nepal? Well, maybe God's calling you there. All right, what do you mean staying in some small town like 2 miles from where I was born? What do you mean? I've got a spirit of adventure. I want to see the world. God, I came to Bible college so that I could go somewhere. Sometimes God sends you right back home and says edify people there. And sometimes He sends you out. You see, the thing is, why I'm bringing this up, we come into this with these notions. And the notions are no good. God doesn't have much respect for them. God comes into our lives with a plan. And we answer them with these notions. But the thing in Isaiah 55 and verse 9 is this. God's ways are above my ways as far as the heaven is above the earth. And His mind is above my mind as far as the heaven is above the earth. So there really doesn't make much sense for me to set my affections on the things below. Because the things below are not necessarily the ways of God, unless God has called me specifically to those things. As a believer, as a person, I want life to have some purpose. I want life to have some meaning. And the only way I'm going to get that is with affection set on the things above. I used to be a photographer. And I was very heavily into photography. And then I became a believer. And photography changed for me. Do you know why? Because although Allah is a pretty good photographer, I can make a pretty good photograph. It didn't have any meaning. It didn't have any real purpose. It didn't have any intrinsic value except that it was a pretty picture and people like pretty pictures. There's nothing wrong with it. But I wanted something more. I wanted something that gave me a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning and a sense of worthwhile. I wanted something that gave, like when I was on my deathbed, I was going to say, wow, it meant something. Rather than, oh, I made so much money and I took so many pictures. And that was the end of it. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. How often do we worry about what's going to come tomorrow? Our jobs, our relationships. Young people, how often do you worry about your relationships? Your relationships will come in God's time. Set your affections on things above. It astonishes me how many Christian young people are so really stuck on this notion of relationships. Who am I going to hook up with? Why don't you hook up with God first? And then He can hook you up with somebody. But they set their affections on things below and not on the things above in this area of their life. Sometimes. And it doesn't work out for them. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Because you're seated above. The Word of God says, if I seek first His kingdom in Matthew 6:33, He provides all those things for me. You know, it's a funny thing about God. His Word is real. And it's true. And it's not just theologically true. If the Word of God is theology, then it's pretty much useless. But if it's practical reality, then it's profoundly useful. Well, we found just this week the extent to which God's promises are true. The young lady's dying in the hospital. She can't breathe, blood and infection filling up her lungs. And then believers pray and it turns around. It did a 180. It was described as a 180. Like out of nowhere, that morning they were going to pull the plug. That evening she's breathing on her own and she's much, much better. Why? Because people prayed. Because God answered. Because God is a practical God. He's a tangible God. He's not a pie in the sky concept. He's here, He's now, He's reality. Some people say you worry too much about God and not enough about other things. You know what? Seek first the kingdom of God and He brings all those things to you. We don't have to go chasing after things as believers. We seek after God and God brings things to us. How many people here went chasing after things and never found them? And then when you become a believer, God brings things to you. I know, I was like that. You know what? Seek first the kingdom of God. How am I going to seek first the kingdom of God? Because I'm going to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And when I do that, I've got something real going on. I've got something purposeful and meaningful. The Word of God says, "Order, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He orders your steps." How many believers actually acknowledge the Lord in all their ways? I bet you, really, it's a minority. How many say, God, You show me what You have for my life and cause me to enter into it? Or how many say, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I think, this is how I'm going to go get it? Well, you can do that if you want. But I'm telling you right now, if you do, you're selling yourself short. Because God never said He's going to starve you. He said He will never, He will not suffer His children begging for bread. And you know what? I know lots of people who've seen Him do that. I know a man who was a missionary in Norway. His funding ran out. The people who were helping him financially stopped. And he ran out of money, but he still knew that he was supposed to be where he was. He didn't tell anybody this. He didn't tell anyone he had no groceries. He didn't tell anyone he had an empty fridge. He didn't tell anybody of his need. But he had an empty fridge with no money and nothing to eat. And then right after he ran out of food, the next morning, outside of his door, he opens his door and there sitting outside of his door are bags of groceries. And there was a note in the bag and the lady said, it was like a lady's handwriting, and the lady said, "God told me to buy you some groceries." He didn't even know who the lady was. It was just he found it outside his door. Why? Because God is eminently practical. God is very concerned with the needs of our lives. God is very concerned with our desires. In Ephesians 3:20, He goes above and beyond all we can ask or think. But He says, seek first the kingdom of God. You see, there's a thing going on here. As a believer, I need to know what's important. And what is not important is necessarily how I'm going to pay my bill. Paying the bills is necessary, yes, and God knows that. But how I pay the bills, is it this way or that way? That's not so important. God will take care of me. I just take a step of faith and I go following after God, and God will take care of me. And people will look at you like you're nuts sometimes, but I'll tell you one thing, you're not nuts. You're the only sane one there if you're the only one there doing it. Because He's been doing it for a long time for every single person who dares to trust Him. He takes care of them. We need to be oriented upward more than we are outward. In Deuteronomy 33:27, we have God's second direction. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Beneath me are God's everlasting arms. In Romans 14:4, the Word of God says that I stand or fall unto Him, and He holds me up. I need to be oriented downwards towards God's everlasting arms. What does that mean? What it means is Isaiah 41:10. That God's right hand will hold me up. In other words, people are so afraid of making mistakes. And it can be so afraid of making mistakes that we never dare to try. And God says, don't be afraid of your mistakes. Just follow after me. Because if you fall on your face, you're falling into my hands. So just take a faith response attitude toward God. And just follow after Him. Do it with abandon. Why? Because He provides. Because He's real. Because beneath you are His everlasting arms. Even if I should happen to get into a situation where I'm failing outright, He'll hold me up. Even if I should get into a situation where I blow everything there is, He holds me up. He doesn't let me fall. And though I may fall, stumble, He will not cast me down. You see, God is very intimate this way. We're engraved in the palm of His hands. He's not going to let us fall. By the way, what is beneath God's arms? This is a sober one. Beneath God's arms is hell. And the believer will never be dropped by God. This is why his arms are there. Because I'm walking in a world that is not friendly toward me or toward God. I'm walking in places where there's all kinds of temptations. I'm taking steps of faith when I'm really not entirely certain sometimes. He never lets me fall. If I make a mistake, He corrects me. If I do something wrong, He helps me. If I fall into sin, He turns me. He never abandons. Why? Because beneath us are His everlasting arms. Never be afraid to trust Him. It's one of those things that is difficult to learn, but valuable, more valuable than anything, is never be afraid to trust Him. Never be afraid to grab a hold of one of God's promises and rest in it. Never be afraid to pray and expect an answer. Never be afraid to trust His arms beneath you, because they won't let you fall. And if you try to fall, they still won't let you fall. That's the strange thing. I've actually known people who have turned against God and tried, and He still catches them. Beneath us are His everlasting arms. That means that He won't condemn me. He won't criticize me. He won't judge me. But He will uphold me. So don't be afraid to trust Him. The third direction is in Luke 17:21. The Word of God says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." There's a correct inward orientation, and then there's an incorrect inward orientation. The incorrect inward orientation is when I'm oriented to self. Selfishness, self-orientation, and like self-consciousness, self-centeredness. But then there's a correct inward orientation. That within me lives the kingdom of God. That the born-again believer has somebody in him that is the Holy Spirit, and we are that temple of that Holy Spirit. And we have a resident God that is in us. And that God, in John 16:13, guides us in all truth, and He shows us the things to come. Like you were saying earlier, that God shows the things to come as the job of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to utilize your most valuable resource. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Don't be afraid to talk to Him. Don't be afraid to hear Him. Because if you are a believer, He is living in you. And He said that He will speak to you, that He will turn you, that He will take care of you, and that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's never far. He lives inside of you. How many people say, "People don't understand me"? He understands you. He lives in you. How many people feel like God is distant? He's not distant. He lives in you. How many people say, "Well, I don't know if He can hear me when I pray or if He's listening"? How can He not hear you? He's in you. But people close their eyes to this reality. That the Holy Spirit, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He has made His home in us. And that this is what we are designed for. And that we are actually made in such a way that we are to fellowship with Him, that we are to have a communion and a unity and a closeness with God. And so He longs for that closeness so much He actually resides in the believer. But we don't utilize that. We don't take advantage of what God gave us. There's a reason why He came in. And there is a reason why He'll never leave. And the reason is because He loves you. This is why He said, "Ask Me." Jesus said to the disciples, "So far you have not asked Me for anything, but ask Me so that your joy may be full." Yet we don't ask Him. Something happens, we don't pray. Something happens, we don't go to Him. We lack wisdom, we don't ask Him. He says, "Ask Me, and I'll give it to you liberally." We need to be oriented to this. We need to be oriented to the fact that God lives in us. How many people don't even dare to tell somebody about Jesus because they're afraid of them? Hey, buddy, God loves you. How hard is that? But they get so self-conscious, they're paralyzed, and they won't even tell somebody who's going to go to hell for eternity because they have not received something that is a gift. And they're paralyzed to say to somebody when they are in fact in possession of the kingdom itself because it is their inheritance. And it dwells in them. They're not oriented to the Spirit and the ability of the Spirit in them. How many people are afraid to say something in public because, "Well, I don't know what to say"? Well, the Holy Spirit in you knows what to say. Just open your mouth and start talking and He'll do the talking. How many people are afraid to share from the Word of God because they say, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to say"? That's because you think it's up to you. You're trying to come up with stuff in your head rather than asking the Holy Spirit to say something. You know what? Hey, guys, listen to this, young guys. When you're asked to share something, doesn't matter if you're asked ahead of time or on the spot, pray first. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you something first. I think often what happens to people is they think that they have to come up with something. You don't have to come up with anything, you just have to listen. And when you start listening, God starts talking. Do you know why God doesn't talk to people more? Because they don't listen. You know what happens in my class if my kids don't listen? I stop talking. And then all of a sudden they notice, "Hey, he's not talking, we better listen." I wish believers would do the same thing. If I listen, God will talk. If I don't listen, God won't talk. Don't be afraid, Jesus said, what you're going to say ahead of time. God will teach you what to say and it's time to say it. But listen to Him. Be available to hear Him. And you don't have to try. If He says something, you'll hear Him. But make sure you're available to listen. The last point of orientation, the last direction, is from outside. Luke 19:43 says, "The day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee on every side." And then in 2 Corinthians 4:8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Outside of us, we have challenges. Outside of us, we have problems. Outside of us, things happen. The world is what it is. But within us is a kingdom. And the one that is the king of that kingdom has overcome the world. No matter what it is that comes our way, we have a kingdom that has overcome the world. We're outside of us, we may get some persecutions and sometimes we might get some blessings. But it's really quite a mixed bag. When the difficult things come, or for that matter, when the easy things come, Don't worry about what it is that's coming. Face it head on. And don't flinch. And don't be afraid of it. Because there's a kingdom that's inside of you that is greater than that which is in the world. Like, never run from a problem. Young people, never run from your problems. Pastor Vieter described it really well. When you run from your problems, it's like running from a bad kidney. You don't get away from it, but it starts to hurt worse. Face it head on. And face it with prayer. And face it with confidence that God will not abandon you. And whatever it is, don't be afraid of it. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, the Word of God says this: For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you come into a circumstance that challenges you, don't run from it. Grab a promise from God and trust Him in that circumstance as you walk right through it. You never have to run from anything. You just grab a hold of a promise from God, and He will see you through absolutely everything. And some things can be pretty hard. Maybe there's illness, or maybe a death of a loved one, or maybe something's going on, you know, kid is sick. Some things can be pretty hard. But you grab a hold of the promises of God, and you pick the promise that the Bible gives that's specific for your situation. And you grab a hold of this because promises from God cannot lie. And then you walk right through the problem. You know what happens when you do? You find that the problem parts for you. You find that as you go right through it, God takes care of you. And He gives you wisdom for your situations. And He gives you the right decisions to make at the right times. And He keeps you. And He protects you. You don't run from anything. You don't need to. Because when you trust the promises of God, you have confidence that God will come through for you. And He always does. Always. Gotta learn how to be oriented toward God's directions. Because really, that's the only way to live. Anything else is really just an illusion and a wishful thought. Or a lot of self-effort. But when I get oriented toward God's directions, then I start being oriented to the only supply that I have. And nothing at all can defeat a Spirit-filled believer who knows how to trust God. Amen.